311.
Good afternoon and welcome to another 311 radio show. And as usual, I'm very happy to have you here with us as we, as you say, start another show for yet another week. It's February 5th, so we are well into the second month of the year. As I keep saying, time just seems to be quickly rushing by, and I hope that everyone is doing well. And of course, today being Sunday, unless you have to be at work, I hope that everyone is having a nice, restful, and relaxing Sunday. So we're going to get into our show at this point. Just basically some reminders for today's show, just to make sure that everyone basically is up to date with certain things. You know, we always say really to make sure that everyone is informed, because when you're informed, you tend to make better decisions. Or well, you hope that as long as you're informed that you will make better decisions, because at the end of the day, we are all seeking to have a safer Barbados. So we're just going to go with the inspections. First up, inspections. So I know in previous shows, either for Officer Collins or myself would have gone through certain things in terms of inspections. But there's actually a checklist, especially for the business owners. There's a checklist that you should follow, just to make sure that you are ready basically for your inspection. Because unfortunately, we are still seeing a lot of businesses calling us out, and then when we get there, they're not actually ready for their inspection. So sometimes we find ourselves having to do what we call a walkthrough, giving them that advice, and then scheduling for that official inspection at a later date. And you know, we don't really have any issue with coming and giving you advice. We always welcome people calling. If you're not sure, calling us and asking us to come and do a walkthrough of your business, so that we can give you the best advice possible, to make sure that even when we come back a few weeks later, or even 10 years from now, that the fire inspector, whoever that would be, will still have no issue with your setup, with your safety precautions that you have in place. You know, once we give you that advice, we really intend for it to be long-lasting. Yes, things will change. Yes, things change in the industry. But normally, they don't change that drastically, that you will have to make any major changes where that is concerned. So, firstly, any business should have adequate means of escape. Okay, adequate means of escape, or as we were sometimes saying before, a service, a means of egress. So just mean you have a way to get away from the building or leave the building, wherever it is. I know that a lot of people still have issues with the one-door stores. So it's one way in, one way out. And of course, that is a challenge to everyone, not just us here at the fire service. But even, you know, you would even hear people would actually come to us and say that they have issues with these stores. And we understand the concern. Trust me, we understand the concern. But unfortunately, it's not a very easy fix. Because at the end of the day, if you had to do a survey of all the stores in Bridgetown, most of the businesses in Bridgetown, most of them are one-door stores. One way in, one way out. If we have to be frank, if we have to be brutally honest, most of the stores in Barbados, if you go street to street, unless you go even on Broad Street, outside of some of our major retailers, majority of these stores are one way in and one way out. And that is why we always advise the store owners, the business owners, to have the adequate fire protection. So yes, if you don't have an alternative exit for people to use in case of an emergency, at least have additional firefighting and fire protection equipment on site. So that actually gives you some extra protection Because okay, so let's say for instance, if we had a store that had two exits, okay, so you have your main entrance exit and then you have an alternative. Depending on the space, we may say, okay, that person only needs, say, one extinguisher, or he wants two. So then we may recommend now for the one door store, just call it at the end the one door stores. For me to you for yeah, let's tell you. Maybe for you to have at least two to three extinguishers. Okay, so it gives you that extra protection where if a small fire breaks out, you have backup in terms of your firefighting media, firefighting equipment. Whereas in case where you may only have one extinguisher, you use that extinguisher and it's out. Because what people don't realize is that it only takes a few seconds for an extinguisher to be empty. Okay. And when I say a few seconds, I mean like something between 20 to 25 seconds. So even though you may hear us mention that an extinguisher may be a 5 pound or a 10 pound or even a 20 pound, and it's CO2 carbon dioxide extinguisher or ABC Dre chemical or Dre powder extinguishers. Yes, so even though they weigh that amount, are we recognize them or classify them by those weights, like I said, 5, 10, or 15, 20 pounds, those extinguishers empty in a matter of seconds. Okay, so if you're not careful, if you're not careful, you can find yourself now being out of an extinguisher and no backup. So definitely for those one door stores, we definitely recommend that you have more than one extinguisher. So in the event that you have to fight a fire, at least you know that if one extinguisher runs out, you can quickly reach or quickly get to your additional extinguishers to try to extinguish that fire. And of course, in recognizing you have a fire, dial that number 311 to make sure that help is on the way. Because at the end of the day, even if you don't get the fire extinguished, but you know for sure the fire service is on its way. And even if you do get the fire extinguished, you still need for us to come on site so we can, do our investigations and of course then have the requisite reports to follow up for that fire. Because anytime there's a fire at your home, even if you got an extinguisher, you still should give us a call and so we can best advise you what to do. I know there has some cases in the past where people had fires in kitchens, and they got an extinguisher, but they still called the fire service. We still went out and gave them some advice and did our specific reports. So good. So that was a mouthful. Adequate means of escape, as I said. Unfortunately, with the one door stores, there's only one way in, one way out. But for sure, even with those who have alternative exits, those exits should always be free of obstacles. So you should not have stock at the emergency exit, okay, blocking it. You should not have tables, furniture, and I'm not just saying this stuff trying to make a time for the show. These are things that we see when we go there doing inspections. Some people even had tables set up as like a rest or lunch area, basically, by close to the exits. And these things should not be happening. Okay. So your exit should always, always, always be clear. Some businesses, you'll find that they pack stock even to say the side, okay, of the walkway. And what that does is reduces your path of escape or your path of egress. Okay. Because you at least two people should be able to walk side by side and get out of most buildings. Okay, but once you reduce that pathway, it restricts the movement of people, especially in the emergency situation. And of course, it is still a trip hazard because you will be surprised. You could be walking past those boxes every single day at work, a normal day. Let the alarm go off. Let some smoke start to filter through that building, or you start to smell something, as we say, burning, and you'll be surprised how you would butt into those boxes, how you would trip over those boxes trying to get out. Trust me, it happens. In emergencies, people's behavior goes in a different direction. And trust me, so that's why we really encourage people to have their pathways, hallways, clear as possible, to reduce any trip hazards, and also to keep that path of egress or escape wide open. Okay. Also, what we require is for you to have exit signs. Okay. So sometimes we would have to ask, okay, so where does this door lead? This is a door lead outside. Okay. So if you had your exit sign, then we will have to ask those questions basically at the end of the day. So always make sure that your exits are clearly marked, because remember, you may have your business, you may have your staff. Your staff may have been there for 5, 10 years. So they may know how to get out. If someone visits your store now for the very first time, they may not know how to get out. Yes, they know they came through a door, but let's say something will happen at that door. Now they have no clue that you actually have another exit that they could escape through. So that's why it's very important to have your exits clearly marked. Also, what we encourage people to do is to put directional arrows. Okay, so directional arrows can actually point people to the exit. So the exit may not be visibly clear from where the person is in the store, but they may look around and see some arrows pointing down the hallway. So if something happens, then that person can easily follow those arrows and make their exit safely as possible. And of course, we know, we always tell people, if there's an alarm, try not to run. When you run, things tend to go wrong most of the time, especially when you're in a panic. As I said before, you will find yourself tripping over things. And of course, people are running all in one direction. People are going to trip. And then people are going to basically trample them, trying to get help. So we want to avoid all those situations. So we always try to tell people to walk quickly. Okay, walk quickly and exit the building and make your way to the assembly point. And that's another thing that is needed. So all businesses should have a designated assembly point. Okay, and this is somewhere that is marked, preferably with a sign, marked assembly point. And it's normally a sign that has a picture of a group of people standing together. And it's normally marked assembly point too, or some people call it a muster point. Okay, so always make sure that you have a designated assembly point. There should be no business environment that's operating that does not have a designated assembly point. And this assembly point needs to be known by all staff and, of course, your customers as well. Especially if an alarm goes off, you need someone there to actually speak to the customers and direct them to that assembly point. Because as I said, the customer coming in, they're not accustomed to the surroundings. Even if they're accustomed to the surroundings, so let's say I go to Brian's bank every Monday to collect money that someone sends for me. So even though I go to that bank every Monday, if something goes wrong at that bank, I don't know really what to do or where to go. So I'm in the bank at the teller, the alarm goes off, and I see the teller get up and start to move. He or she may say nothing to me, and of course then panic is going to set in. No. So you literally have to have someone there who can direct your customers to your assembly point, because your customers also need to be in your head count for when the fire service arrives, so you can tell them, okay, well, I have 10 customers, 40 staff, whatever the number may be, so that we will then have an idea of how many people were in the building. And if you started it with 42 staff, and then you're telling me 40, well, now I know that two people may still be inside, or they could have left. And that's why we also encourage people, especially employers, to make sure that they inform their employees that whenever there's an alarm, whether it's a drill or the real thing, that everyone should report to the assembly point and no one should leave and go home. It happens. Trust me, it happens. And then you have a case where we don't have to commit for officers to a building to do a search for people who are probably halfway home or watching a story unfold on social media. And we don't want that to be happening. Okay. So as I said, have clear means of escape and your exits must be clearly marked. So those are two things so far that would help you with your inspection. On top of that, if it's a big business and you have something that's what we call an integrated alarm system, and that is normally where you have a joint system with both fire and security. Okay, so you have separate triggers for your burglar alarm or intruder alarm, and then of course you have your fire alarm, and it will show on the panels that you will see in some business houses. Okay, so you should have your alarm system up and running. We normally would advise business owners to have their alarm system checked at least twice a year, and to also just test it randomly. Okay, so even on a regular day, regular shopping day, you can come over your PA system and inform your customers and your staff that this is just a test of the system, and go ahead and pull one of those pull stations and just to make sure that your alarm system is working. Because I can't remember if I mentioned it before, but there was a case where there was, I think, a fault was showing at the panel in the business. The alarm was still working because we asked them to pull the alarm. So while we were there, the alarm actually went off. The issue came with that it was not registering at the security company. So you can imagine if they had a fire in that business, the alarm is going off. Everyone's saying, okay, well, at least the alarm is going off. Everyone gets out, gets to the assembly point, marked as safe. And then people are there saying, well, I'm not seeing a response. I'm not seeing anything going on. But at the end of the day, the alarm was not registered at the security company. And with most of these security companies, once it's registered there, then they would contact us at the fire service so that we can respond. So imagine nothing showing up at a security company. So obviously, they're not going to have a need to call us. And we're just there sitting. And all that time, that building is going up in smoke. And as we keep seeing on this show, fire increases in size and intensity every 30 seconds. Okay, so you don't really have a lot of time when it comes to fire. Okay, so just always remember that. Just make sure you have your alarm systems checked at least twice a month. And of course, as I said, just randomly, you can inform your staff, your customers that you're going to test the alarm just to make sure that it's working, reset it, and then you are good to go again. Also, as we keep saying, you should have your extinguishers, and it's very important to know the best type of extinguisher for your business. That is what we always encourage for business houses, especially to have their staff trained in fire safety, and also have people designated as fire safety wardens, and is also training for that all at our academy there in Arch Hall. So the reason why I say that is because not every extinguisher works for every fire. So the two most common extinguishers you will find in business houses across Barbados will be our carbon dioxide, or let's say CO2, okay, and also the ABC, dry chemical. And what we call it ABC is because it covers three categories of or three classes of fires. We have type A, which would be like your ordinary combustibles, like paper, wood, plastic, grass, cloth, anything like that, and that you will find normally around, that is class A. Okay, and the extinguisher will cover that if you had to have that type of fire. Class B, which would be flammables, flammable liquids like your gasoline, kerosene, thinners, paint, stuff like to that effect. And of course, then Class C, electrical. So the ABC extinguisher is kind of a jack of all. It still doesn't cover two other types, really, which would be your metal fires and of course your kitchen fires. But for sure, it is very handy to have around because those are mostly things that you may find in a household or in a business. But for sure, either the carbon dioxide or the ABC dry chemical can do a pretty good job if you have a fire either in your business or your home. And you know, we keep stressing that extinguishers and smoke alarms, smoke detectors are not only for commercial businesses. They are for your home as well. The same way that they can be mounted at your workplace, you can buy some and mount them in your home. Okay, remember home, as I say, home is where the heart is. So you should make sure to be protected and have your fire protection there at your home. Like I said, any small fire starts up, you can easily get to it and, you know, use your extinguisher and see how best you can get that fire out. And of course, always remember, even before you start, call 311 or shout for help, ask someone else to call 311 for you to make sure you know that help is still on the way, just in case things don't work out. Extinguishers should be mounted. Once we're still on extinguishers, no, they shouldn't be mounted. They should not be on the floor. They should not be used as door stops or door props. Okay, and we go into a lot of businesses and we see the extinguishers on the floor, and that is not where they are supposed to be. They're supposed to be mounted, okay, and not used as props to hold open doors so people can get AC from another room, or just to open a door, keep a door open so that people don't have to open the door all the time when they're moving back and forth between offices. Okay, that is not where, that's not what the extinguisher was designed to do. Okay, so always make sure that your extinguishers are mounted. Once again, if you need assistance with that, we can come in, do our walkthrough, and show you exactly where you can mount your extinguishers. And of course, we'll also tell you the best type for your workplace or workspace. Okay, so just make sure you always have those extinguishers mounted. All of these things come as violations. And an inspector can fail you for something as simple as that. Opening a door and seeing an extinguisher on the floor, that is a violation, is not supposed to be there. And that's how simply you can fail your inspection. Okay, so we're aiming that no one fails their inspections, because of course, if you fail your inspection, you have to pay a fee again. Okay, so you have to pay for a fresh inspection or you get a re-inspection and half of the original fee. So to avoid having to pay out all that extra money, just make sure that you do the right things, follow the rules. You can go to our website, fireservice.gov.bb, and you can find all of these fire safety checklist points, basically, on our website. So you can even print them off, do a screenshot and keep it, however you see it best. To memorize these things and to also put them in place before we actually turn up to do the inspection. Some places carry auxiliary lighting, especially the stairwells, just in case the electricity should go off, then people moving down through the stairwells can see and safely exit the building. Also, sometimes in some fire situations, if the alarm goes off, the electricity may actually shut down, and then those auxiliary lights will come on in the hallways and the staircases, actually, to let people exit safely. So that is also another option. We mostly find the auxiliary lighting in bigger businesses, like your banks, your very big retail stores that have multiple stories. You normally find the auxiliary lighting in the sometimes the hallways and the staircases for those businesses. It's always a good thing to have. Also, for for some businesses that store chemicals. And this is always a scary thing for us. Sometimes when we go to inspections and then we see the type of business, we're not thinking that we may actually come upon anything sinister. Let's put it that way. And sometimes we go to businesses and sometimes people have things, chemicals stored on the compound that we would not think would be there. Okay, or sometimes how they have them stored is reckless. I'm going to be very honest here. Sometimes how they have the chemicals stored is extremely reckless. And that, of course, is a big no-no for us. You should not have drums of chemicals just laying around, especially exposed to direct sunlight. Most of the things need to be in a covered area, well ventilated. Sometimes people just have them in whatever available space there is on the compound. And of course, that's a very big danger to us. And then we're not always informed of the type of chemicals people have on their compound. So sometimes we may only find out when we turn up. And that's also a big danger for us because, okay, let's say, for instance, you have your business in Bridgetown. And we know that you store ammonia. If there's a fire there, we immediately know that we have to evacuate almost, let's say, a certain particular portion of Bridgetown, or maybe half of Bridgetown, and depending on the wind direction, everything like that. So it gives us a heads up and a head start in our tactics, basically. Okay. Because obviously as it's more billows, then it's going to be carrying that chemical with it. And then obviously people who are downwind could be severely affected by that fallout. So that's why it's important for us to know what is, on site at your business, especially if you're storing chemicals. And you should have something called a material safety data sheet, or we call it MSDS, on site, especially if you're carrying large amounts of chemicals, so we can actually see those sheets and know what's going on. Possibly, maybe even get a copy of those sheets, or so most of us take our phones with us, take some photos. Let's say we have our own guideline and that we can use to find out about these chemicals that you may store and their reaction with fire, their reaction with water. What is our zone, our follow zone that we have to set up if there's a fire there. So you see how much information that we need to have so that we can do our job efficiently. Let's say efficiently, because even though effectively is good as well, I always think that with our job, since most things are life and death, I prefer to use the word efficiently to make sure that we are on our A game and loss of life or our injury, is brought to a minimum. So I think I have about a minute and a half left. So just want to remind our business owners also that if you are moving from one building to the next, okay, so if you're opening, if you're moving your business, to a new building, that you still have to call us or send an application to have that space inspected. You cannot just move from one building to the next and set up shop. No, we have to come and inspect that building, make sure it is good for the use. Okay, make sure it's good for the business that you have, and also make sure that you have the proper equipment, as is everything for that new building. So just be reminded, if you're, once again, use Brian's Bank. If you're Brian's Bank and you are in one area and you need to move to another area, then you need to send in that application and have us come and do an inspection. So that brings me to the end of another one-on-one show. I had a few more things to add, but I guess I'll have to do that for our next show. So once again, have a great week. Please be safe and be, I always say, be fire smart, be fire safe. But of course, here at the Fire Service, you do know that fire prevention is our intention. Thank you once again for being with us, and have a great day.